This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And, well, there's been a lot in the news, so I guess I should start with that. First, there was something kind of confusing that came up here in Vancouver in the local news, and we still haven't got to the bottom of it. But there was this news on TV two nights ago, I think it started, and they were interviewing the victim, which is a man who's already disabled, and he was walking his dogs through the woods in a perfectly nice trail on Vancouver Island somewhere. And this is awful. Okay, so he's got two dogs. One looks like a shepherd cross of some kind, medium size, and the other looks like a lab. But if you really look closely, it's a pit bull lab. At least that's what I think. Anyhow, so he says he's wandering around and he has these two nice dogs and they're off leash and they're both very friendly. And all of a sudden he can tell that there's something wrong with one of his dogs. It's disappeared in the woods. He goes to find it a few feet away and it's been hacked very, very badly by a machete. And there's a man standing there with the unsheathed machete. And the victim, the man who owned the dogs, reports that he's with a woman and the woman is laughing, like as if this is funny, as he's basically trying to kill his dog. So he gets the dog out of there and gets it to vet emergency and it undergoes all this surgery and the dog is fine. Okay, so the dog is okay. He's wearing a cone collar. He's going to be okay. So the news story was all about, you know, how these suspects attack this dog and be mindful if you're a dog walker, watch out when you're in the woods. Maybe somebody with a machete is some crazy person is going to come. And so that was kind of the way the story was playing for a day or two. And then the police investigated it more and released official statements about it, saying that actually the dog attacked the man. Now, why the man would have an unsheathed machete in the woods is kind of confusing to me. You don't really do that here. So, I mean, maybe pepper spray or bear spray if you're worried about being attacked by a dog, maybe a big stick. And why are you worried about being attacked by dogs? And then, so according to the person who injured the dog attacked them. He saw this pit bull come out of nowhere and attack them, and so he swung at it. So they're not going to charge this guy. And I'm just like kind of perplexed. What really happened there? What was really going on there? Did the dog bark at them? Did the dog scare them? Was the guy carrying a machete because he'd been attacked before? What is going on with this story? Something is missing. And I find lately in the news, when I watch the news, oftentimes, you know, if I ask the question, what, where, when, why, how, I'm not getting all the answers. I'm left going to the internet to find out where did that happen? Who was involved? And I'm kind of tired of that. I don't understand why journalists aren't covering the stories the way they used to. They used to have like an editor. I remember because I worked at the province newspaper for years and they used to have this kind of overseer that saw everything and he would flag your stories and say, look, it's missing this, it's missing that, fill it out more, condense it, you know, and then you'd go back and rewrite it and fix it. And the province newspaper at the time had a circulation of 250,000 plus and was a daily paper in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And that's what they did. They were meticulous. But now I watch the news and it doesn't matter if it's CNN or CBC or NBC or it doesn't matter, MSNBC, it doesn't matter what I'm watching. It's missing crucial facts. Now, this story, it's hard to tell what the facts are. If you've got a dog that's reactive, or worse, they might run, the dog might chase them, they might scream and yell to try and be aggressive like you would with a bear. But that's not really the way to be around a dog who's trying to protect his owner. You have to show him you're a friend. So if you're walking in the woods and a dog comes up to you, boo, 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 as if to say, hey, watch out, my owner's here, I'm protecting my owner. But the response is, hi, doggy, or call out to the person, hello, I'm here. Then the owner answers you, hi, how's it going? Now the dog's completely diffused. There's a good way to react to this kind of situation. The dog's just doing his job, alerting the owner that there's some people in the woods that the owner doesn't know are there, and possibly there's a threat there. If the people in the woods are already worried about a dog attacking them and they're already armed and they're just setting up for this, well, of course, the dog's going to feed on that. He's going to pick up that intention and that concern. And maybe the man who's about to attack the dog is sweating. Maybe he smells like fear. Maybe his heart is beating extra fast, which the dog can hear. There's a lot going on, Right? If that dog had come across a couple of kids collecting flowers, he probably wouldn't have barked at all. So the dog is doing his job, but everybody's misunderstanding it. And I still, if I find out more information, and I will be looking, I will report back to you all at Animal Party Pet Life Radio, because I really want to know what happened, the truth of what happened with these people. Now, the guy, the owner of the dog, was on disability, and I really want to commend the veterinarian who operated on the dog with no charge to remedy the situation, save the dog's life. A machete wound on a dog's neck is extremely severe. You could easily kill a dog that way. So it's really bizarre that this happened. But I wanted to just detail it a little bit and to just let you know that I will be following up. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with some more news and some of it's feel good. So stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. There's a lot of news going around, animal news, so we're going to spend a show kind of covering most of that. There's been so many topics that have come up in the last few weeks, and I feel like I got to clear them off my desk before I can do another show with a guest and talk about the guests' goings on. So for now, we're going to go through the news a little bit, a little rundown. And there was something I just caught that I thought was a beautiful sentiment. There's an organization called Gaia, and they bring horses and dogs and different animals to children who are very, very sick. And one of the kids is quoted. I saw her on the news, and I was just almost got teary over this one. She's probably not going to live long. She's a little girl, and she's pretty sick, and she's in the hospital, and she's hugging this dog, and they interview her, and they say, "What's this like for you, basically?" And she answers, she says, "This dog is my pain medicine without tablets." I just thought that was brilliant. So I wanted to share that with you because that's what a good service dog does. Now, speaking of service dogs, a blind woman was refused a ride with a seeing eye dog. Now, this could be anywhere. It was in the Lower Mainland where I live, but it could have been anywhere. It's still happening. So if you're ever in a situation where you're trying to board a bus or a plane or get into a taxi and you see, because you've got sight, you see a person without sight trying to get in with their seeing eye dog and they're being interfered with, stick up for them. That's what we need to do. We need to say to that bus driver, taxi driver, stewardess, whoever it is, flight attendant, whatever, "Hey, this person is seeing impaired. They have a right to bring that dog on." Now, I know there's a lot of people bringing dogs and cats and ferrets and who knows what on, saying they're service animals, saying they help them with their anxiety. But this is something else. This is someone with a registered, certified, fully trained dog. It's not going to cause a problem anywhere. And the person has a right, a right. It's not a privilege. It's not a, "Oh, well, if we feel like it, if there's enough room." No, no, no. A blind person with a registered service dog has a right to travel with that dog, a right not to be separated from that dog. So please, everybody, if you care about people and you care about dogs and you want the world to run better, stand up for these people because they need your help when they're being refused entry. You know, they get these terrible hassles, right? They have to rebook the flight. They can't go. They miss their events. It's already hard enough for a seeing impaired person to travel, but they add extra obstacles when they refuse them like this. And in the end, yeah, maybe if they have enough money and connections, they can sue, or maybe they can make a big stink with the press and get some money back. But honestly, they'd much rather just make the flight. So if you can help them by saying, "Hey, this person deserves to ride, let them on," it'll help them so much. So let's stand up for people with true, legitimate, certified service dogs who want access, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. All right, we're going to go to another break and come back and talk about some more news and a little bit of dog behavior on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out ComfortDiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, ComfortDiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today, because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. Radio, you are at the party. And I saw an interesting quote from a dog trainer that I thought I'd share with you. He said that letting your dog out in the same yard alone every day is like you trying to read the same book over and over and over. And I thought that was really apt, because a lot of people think, you know, 10 by 20 yard, or even a quarter acre, even 100 by 50, whatever, that a yard like that is going to, well, he has a yard, why isn't he happy? Well, he's just going to sit there and wait for you to come out and play with him. Most dogs, if there's two dogs and they're playmates, that's great. They can chase each other, run, chase, test each other's reflexes, like keep away with the ball. They can do all kinds of things together. But if you got one dog sitting out there by itself in a yard he's already smelled, with no new scents and no new experiences, he's been there, done that 100 times, he's just going to sit and wait for you. It's just a bathroom. It's like trying to be entertained in an outhouse. It's just not going to work. So give your dog some stimulation. Take him to the park. Take him to the dog park. Bring a friend over who has a dog to play with him. That's the kind of thing your dog needs. It's sometimes I run into customers who are here for training. They come to Camp Good Dog and they have a very athletic dog, maybe a Weimaraner, a Border Collie, a Pointer. Like that, like the one that Cricket, the one that lost its life because of that silly politician. But maybe a dog that's meant for hunting or sport, and they don't understand why they can't exercise it enough. They tell me things like, oh, well, we walk it 3 times a day. And I look at the people and their walk speed is a shuffle or a stroll. They're overweight or elderly, or they just not very fit people. And they got this like major athlete on 4 legs in the prime of his life. The only way you're going to run that dog till he's happy and content is with other dogs, or with a ball, or with a game off leash. You got to find a place to let him swim or run or fetch. Chuck it. Use the chuck it tool so you can chuck that ball way farther than your own feeble arm will do, because that dog needs more than what you can give it. And once you are giving it the exercise it needs, all your behavior problems disappear. You know, he's hype around the house. He runs out the front door. He won't come when called at the end of walks. He pulls on a leash. He jumps up on people. All this stuff is gone when the dog isn't so dying for a workout, when he's tired and he's sleeping. He's a really good dog. So that's what I would suggest for you. Now, I've had a dog here recently, a dog called Onyx that was boarding here. And, you know, he was said to be very nervous and hand shy. And it was really interesting to me that the way to work this dog was not to necessarily to put him on leash, not necessarily to pull him at all or go near his collar. So he obviously has some issues, like someone's grabbed him too hard or done a surrender hold or something happened to him that he doesn't like to be grabbed or pulled. So as soon as I figured that out, I just sent the word to all my staff, hey, baby talk this one. So what you do is you walk up to him, and as he sort of slinks back, like his normal reaction, instead of reaching to him, which will make him slink back further, you keep your body still and you just start baby talking. Oh, what a good boy. It's so nice to see you. You want to go for a walk? I think you do. Oh, you're so cute. and you say his name and you tell him he's a good dog, shaking himself. Maybe he yawns or sneezes. He's changing his mood now. And he starts to sort of get a little frisky feet. And now he's right beside you. Now he's ready to go out with you. So a lot of times it's about what happened before and just setting up a new situation where the dog knows, wait a minute. Oh, this is different. Oh, this is the walk voice. This is the happy voice. This is the voice I want to obey. I want to hang out with you, you nice person that's baby talking and so happy. So try to set the mood with your voice. Dogs are very, very sensitive to sound. And, you know, oftentimes I'll be working with someone who's training their dog, and I notice that the voice they use for good dog and the voice they use for is kind of the same. So in other words, they'll use a very gruff voice to, you're a good dog, you're a good dog. And then when the dog's bad, no. Well, it's really hard for the dog to distinguish. Instead, if they say, you're a good dog, like that, and when it's doing something they don't like, the correction is no. Then, okay, now the negative sounds like a growl, just like a mama dog or any dog would do. It sounds like a negative sound. No. And the happy sounds so positive, it can't be mistaken. So that's what you want to do. Use your voice when you're working with animals. Use your voice to set the tone and you'll get way better reactions. Okay, one more extra tip is what you're thinking the dog picks up on. So this is kind of hard to explain because some people think I'm saying that dogs have telepathy, and I probably am saying that. But whether it's true telepathy or just an extreme adeptness at reading human behavior, I can't be sure. Regardless, the effect is the same. When you think something, your dog picks it up. So if I think to myself, oh my God, I'm going to be late for my appointment. I'm so late. I wish this dog would friggin' come. I can't stand this. I'm one more minute and I'm going to stress out. Oh, no. Okay, all that, your dog's picking up and he's going, I don't want to go anywhere near her. I don't know if she's mad at me. I don't know what's going on, but this isn't good. I'll just look the other way and pretend I don't hear her calling me because we're at the dog park and I like it here. Now, if on the other hand, the owner starts to knows they're getting stressed and all that, but they say to themselves, okay, take a few deep breaths and we'll just, you know, kind of focus on a positive thought. Picture your dog coming to you. As you say the word come, say it in a happy voice. Walk away so your dog sees that you're actually going to do something. Maybe pick up a ball and play with it yourself. Do something that shows the dog you're happy, you're in a good mood, and when he joins you, it'll be a happy thing. If you do that, your dog's so much more likely to come than if you're standing there venting and fuming and thinking all these negative thoughts. Your body posture will change, your attitude will change. Everything you send out, the whole vibe changes, and your dog says, wait a minute, that's my favorite person doing something fun. I'll go check it out, and boom. Now, if you're listening to this and you say, that would never work with my dog. When I go to the dog park, all he cares about is the ball. He'll follow anyone with the ball. Okay, if that's your situation, you need more training. Take your dog to that same park with a big long rope and teach him to come right then and there. Teach him that you are the most fun thing in that park. He can wander around and then you say, come and reel him in like a fish and give him the ball and play with him a little bit and cuddle him, wrestle him, do whatever he likes so that he wants to come again. Then ignore him for 5 minutes. Let him wander around, sniff things, call him again. Make it so happy that he just can't wait for you to call him. Do this a lot. And when you do eventually decide to do off-leash walks, start your off-leash walk with a long leash. So you're showing him on this day in this park, if you come, I'll be happy and we'll celebrate. And if you come, the walk won't be over. You'll get to go again. Because a lot of our dogs think come when called means the walk's over. So you have to call them throughout the walk. So it's happening. Give them a little treat, send them again. Give them a ball, send them off again. Over and over. So when you do call them at the end of the walk, he doesn't know it's the end of the walk. That's the way to go if you've got a dog who holds out on you. So, oh my goodness, I have so much more to cover. It's a good thing I'm on every week because I'll be back next week to give you more. I did want to tell you a little bit about some sentimental adoptions that I've had. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you about magic. Yeah, no, I did tell you about magic. Magic is the dog that got hurt. And he's doing well. The dog who got hurt by the machete. So I got a little bit confused there. But Magic is doing very, very well. There's an animal group, a rescue group, that I just wanted to talk a little bit about before we end the show. And that is a Norwegian animal rescue group. And they're saving the animals left in Ukraine. They're leaving no pet behind. And I'm looking at a picture of a woman evacuating with her cat from Ukraine. And so many of the pets there were in trouble and left and in, you know, a destitute situation with bombs going off. And so it's really wonderful that there are organizations out there doing this work and saving the animals of Ukraine. Because anytime there's a war zone, the animals are affected, and it's certainly not their fault. So I think we've run out of time today. Sorry to say, because I have so much more to talk about. Well, I'm just going to leave you with a cat tip then. Oh, no, I want to talk to you about cones, because in a previous show, I was talking about cone collars. This is important. And I was saying that I love the soft cone collar, which is true. I buy them on Amazon, and they have Velcro on them, and they're I get one that's larger than the dog's head, always a size larger, because otherwise they can kind of scrunch it up and get at their stitches. And that was working really well. But I do want to tell you that it stopped working. So you have to be monitoring. If you've got a dog that's had stitches or a wound and it's supposed to wear a cone collar and you feel so bad that you take the cone collar off and you think, okay, I'm just going to give him a little break, tie that dog to you, put him on a leash and put the leash around your waist, because it's very easy to forget for a second. And the dog goes out to the bathroom, or he goes into another room and rips all his stitches out. Or in the case of a female who's just been spayed, rips her stitches out and her organs are lying on the floor. Bad, 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 nasty. And if you have to have a surgery redone, it's extremely expensive, but also very difficult for the veterinarian, because the dog will mess it all up. And then there's very little skin tissue left to tie to secure the wound at the end. So you really, really want to avoid this. So here I am, 1 week after spaying two dogs, and the soft cone collars are working great, and everybody seems comfortable and happy. And I notice somebody's licking her stitches. Somehow she's managed to yoga position her head and scrunch the soft cone so she can just get at them. A good thing we noticed. Okay, so right away, boom, that soft cone collar comes off. And the nasty hard plastic one goes on. And okay, now it's 100%. Tie it up securely so they can't get it off. Secure the plastic cone to the collar. Tie the collar tighter than it normally is, so there's no way the dog can get this off. And I did some further insurance. I used duct tape where all the clasps connect. I duct taped it, because sometimes a dog can use its foot and undo the cone and then have access to its stitches. So I didn't want any of that. So now my two girl dogs, Polka Dot and Dorita, who are finished their breeding career, one's a poodle, one's a doodle, they got spayed. And for a week, they were absolutely fine with the soft collar, didn't fuss, didn't do anything. But that's the thing. When the stitches are new, they don't itch so much. At about 7 days, they start to itch like mad, and the dog wants to get them out. So even though your dog may have not fussed at its stitches the first week, you really got to watch it at around day 7. So day 7, mine went, or I think it was more like day 10, mine went into the plastic cones, and tomorrow they get their stitches out and they can be cone free. So they'll be very, very happy. But it's super hard for the owner to endure this. You so want to take the cone off. And I just had to know, I'm not taking these cones off. I'm not risking the stitches being removed. We're going to make it to the 2 week mark, take them back to the vet and get it done properly. So I do recommend for all you out there who are listening, if you've got a dog that picks at itself, if you've got a dog that's never had surgery before and you don't know, if you've got a dog that seems calm with its stitches in the first week, be on the lookout for the fact that they might start fussing and scratching and trying to pick them out after that. And you just don't want that. And they're out of it. They never have to have it again. It's over. They hang into the back of your legs and they make all kinds of noise. And the dogs can't quite get up on furniture the same way. And they can't get in and out doggy doors. But it's this too shall pass. Okay. It's worth enduring till the end. If any of you want to see a picture of my dogs and cones, we're going to post it with this show. And I actually decided this time to see what it was like. You know, I've put cone collars on dogs for years. Every time they have something they're picking at or have a surgery, right? But I've never worn one myself. So I decided, how bad is this thing to wear? So I put one on myself and took a picture with the two dogs. I think they thought it was hysterical. Both of them were really play acting when I did this. But yeah, it's really not very pleasant, honestly. It's very hard to see. Your peripheral vision is cut off completely. You have to lift your head to do anything. It's not heavy exactly, but it's a little bit scratchy. Now, granted, I don't have fur, so it scratches on my neck and my hair. It was really quite uncomfortable. So I'm kind of amazed at how well my dogs do with the cone collars, how happy they are. Their tails are wagging. They're running around. Like, I don't think a human wearing one of those for 2 weeks would be nearly as happy or as able to get around. If you want to see a human in a cone collar, me with a couple of dogs, check it out. It's on our page. It'll be posted with the show. And I think it's often good to try to see what your dogs see, feel what your dogs feel. In particular, right now, I know it's 98 degrees in Florida. Mexico's hotter. So where I live, it's raining and cold, and this isn't really a worry right now. But if you're in a very, very hot place and you want to walk your dog, touch the pavement. If it burns your hand, you got to do something about that. You got to walk him somewhere else or give him boots or something, because you don't want his foot pads, his sensitive leather foot pads, to get burned. I've seen dogs where they burn them right off. And it's a very difficult injury to recover from, because every time they walk on it, they re-injure. So be very, very careful. Try to avoid the heat of the day. Walk your dog in the early morning or the evening when it's cooler, especially if it's an old dog. If your dog's over 8, it has no business being out at noon on a sunny, hot day when it's 100 degrees. That's a recipe for stroke. So keep in mind, and I hear this all the time. I had a Dalmatian customer years ago who would argue with me, oh no, she's fine. She loves her noonday runs. And I kept saying to him, well, that may have been true when she was 4 or 5 or 6, but she's 11 now. And she's only keeping up with you out of duty. She does not want to run in the heat of the day during a heat wave. That's not what dogs do. In the wild, they don't do that. They stay in the woods. They avoid hot sun. They just don't do that. They do their major trips dawn and dusk. They don't play in the heat wave in noon. So just because you love the sun doesn't mean your dog does. And that particular Dalmatian had a stroke, a heart attack and stroke during a run after I'd warned him. So really, it survived, but was never the same. So I want you all to know that the heat is a serious thing for dogs. They're wearing fur coats. They don't have great temperature control. They need shade. They need water. And they need cool place to walk. So some of that grass in Florida, that artificially watered grass, because it's so hot there, it can be so sharp. It can be like blades. Run your hand along it. If it cuts your hand, don't walk your dog on that grass. Really, really think about where you're taking your dog and the time of day when you're in a heat wave. They should always have water, always have access to shade. And if you do think your dog's gotten dehydrated or overheated, wet him down with cool water, not cold water, and keep him in the shade and give him lots to drink. Sometimes Gatorade can help a lot. If a dog, you put a little bit of Gatorade in their water and give them a choice. So they have fresh, plain water as well as the Gatorade flavored water. Sometimes that can help a lot to just revive a dog quickly. But if you're really worried about it, go to the vet, because it can be very, very serious. And I don't want dogs dropping from the heat. Okay, everybody, that was your word to the wise from Animal Party Pet Life Radio. From me and the station, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.